The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the readings this morning from Isaiah and Luke, we encounter two well-known examples of call stories. Stories of men who are called out of their ordinary lives with an extraordinary invitation to play a significant role in God's plan for the world. There's the story of Isaiah, who has a vision of heaven from which an angel descends and touches a coal to his lips, calling him to be a prophet to the people. And Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." And then we have the story of Simon Peter, for whom Jesus miraculously provides a huge haul of fish when they had previously caught none. And when Jesus invites him to follow him on his extraordinary mission, Simon Peter, who will eventually become known just as Peter, drops everything and follows. He walks away from the only career he has to feed his family. He doesn't stop by the marketplace to sell his huge haul of fish. He drops everything and simply walks away. These two stories are remarkable accounts of people responding to God's call. And yet, I find that at times they can actually be more off-putting than inspirational when they're given to us as models for what a call from God must be like. Many of us will hear these passages from the lectionary about what it means to be called by God and think that if we haven't had these dramatic, miraculous moments that change everything about our lives, that we must not be called by God. The abbreviated versions of these stories that make it into our lectionary can cause us to count our own experience, to count ourselves out, before we ever even recognize the ways that God is, in fact, calling us. Which is a shame, because the reality is that both of these stories, the story of Isaiah and the story of Simon Peter are more complicated than the lectionary this morning leads us to believe. Take Isaiah, for instance. Now, you would expect this kind of call story, lips touched by burning angelic coal, the call to prophetic speech, to be at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. But it's not. It's 6 chapters in. In fact, Isaiah's already been prophesying for 115 verses before he has a dramatic experience of being called to be a prophet. He's already doing the work, using the gifts that he's been given, and his experience of call is more of an affirmation than a starting point. There's something about this that resonates for me. I have friends and colleagues who describe moments of clarity when they knew that God was calling them to be priests, often from the time that they were very young. And these kinds of call stories much more closely follow the model of Jeremiah, whose call story comes before anything else and takes place when he was young. But that wasn't my story. I only got a little bit at a time. Wanting to help people led me to social work and pastoral care grad school. A growing interest from there in health care led me to hospice. Working in hospice as a spiritual care coordinator led me to start wondering about ministry, led me to consider ordination for the first time. Only after years of discernment and having already started seminary did I even imagine myself working in a parish. And the moment where I first imagined that is the closest thing I had to a dramatic moment of call, but there was no vision, no angels, no coal touching my lip. I was just waiting for an elevator. And I felt a sense of clarity for the first time that that's what I was supposed to do. Sometimes we don't recognize the path we're on until we're already walking it. And then at other times, we do actually experience something miraculous, like Simon Peter does in the gospel story this morning. What seems to be his first encounter with Jesus in this passage, though, is misleading, for just a few verses prior in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was at Simon Peter's house, healing his mother-in-law. So he's now had the opportunity to witness Jesus perform 2 miracles. Seems like he has a bit of a head start when Jesus calls him. 2 miracles worth of proof that maybe this Jesus is worth following. But then, after he follows Jesus and sees more miracles and healings, he does nothing, not even speak, until he's on the mountaintop with Jesus, James, and John at the Transfiguration. When Jesus' full divinity is revealed to him, this dazzling display of the presence of God incarnate, and how does Peter respond? By questioning and challenging and arguing at every turn, and of course denying Jesus at that critical moment. But as we know, that's not the end of Peter's story. When the women announce the resurrection to him, he runs to the tomb to find it empty, and he is amazed. We don't hear from Peter again in Luke's gospel, but his story continues in the book of Acts, the second volume composed by the author of Luke. And at the beginning of Acts, Peter is a leader among the disciples. And at the day of Pentecost, he stands before a crowd proclaiming the good news of the resurrection, inviting believers to be baptized and working to create the community that we would come to know as the church. Peter had that big, miraculous moment. To be honest, he had many of those. And yet his call was more gradual than the gospel story this morning might reveal. He had some bumps along the way. He grew disheartened. He had doubts. His story sounds not all that different from many of ours. And yet, in time, Peter would, in fact, live into the invitation Jesus made to him that day on the seashore. It just took him some time. By the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, we see Peter sharing the good news of Jesus before crowds of people. Just like Jesus predicted, when he told Peter that he would catch people. And his catch is big, echoing the large haul of fish, so large that he and James and John struggled to get it into the boats. 3,000 new Christians would join the church that day. I find that the call stories of Isaiah and of Peter are so much more powerful in their complicated fullness than they are when they're used to create some sort of normative expectation for what a call from God should look like. The calls that God extends into our lives are always situated within the context of our real lives, activating gifts and passions that God Himself has given us. And if we're willing to accept the invitation, they can take us much further than we ever could have imagined. And it doesn't actually matter if we think we're good enough for something like that. Both Peter and Isaiah raised this kind of objection, but it wasn't theirs to decide. It was God's. And whether or not they had the skills necessary to succeed, that was God's to worry about too. Isaiah already had the gifts of prophecy, and God would amplify them and impact entire kingdoms. And standing on the shore that day, maybe Peter didn't have what he needed to captivate the crowds just yet. But he did have the courage to follow. And by following and dwelling closely with Jesus, with eyes and ears and heart, always growing more open in his presence, when the time came for Peter to address the crowds, he was ready. The one who calls is the one who equips, and the one who equips always leads the called to more complete expressions of the persons they were created to be. All of the questions that stir up in our minds, the thought of God calling us to do something, am I good enough? Am I wise or talented or brave or skillful enough? Do I have the time? The answer to all of those questions will be yes, even if that's not the answer today. It will be by the time God is done with us. We don't have to know how it's all going to work. We just have to be willing to do the part that God is calling us to do, and then let God take care of the rest. Amen.